Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Wake up, y'all. We got Sixers basketball today. Good morning on this day, Monday, December 16th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on for the day. It's your man, James Jackson. Thank you for starting your day and your week with me. This is, like I said, the Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update. We're about to set the week and get you ready for Sixers basketball all throughout the week. It was a eventful and traumatic, I should say, weekend for the Sixers. A lot going on, not a lot of it. Great news. I will break down all of it for you and more in this morning Sixers update. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for yours truly, at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast on Twitter. Great follows. Make sure you're doing that because there's a lot to keep everybody updated on. And me, Jack, and Elliot do a great job of doing that for you guys. So make sure you guys are locked, loaded, and following us for Sixers basketball. Time to set the agenda for the morning pod this Monday. So you know what we'll do for the schedule. Set the week for the Sixers. Talk about the upcoming games for the next 7 days. For the Sixers this week, then we'll go through scores around the league, some teams we should pay attention to as Sixers fans, injury news, regular news, and then on the other side of the break that I take, I'll get into some analysis, three things to watch for, as it is a game day today for the Sixers. That's where I'll start the week, setting the agenda. The Sixers take on the Charlotte Hornets tonight at 7 p.m. The Sixers are 2-0 against the Charlotte Hornets this season in the season series. Both of those being like kind of pop-out games. First one, Jerry McCain, the pop-out game of Jerry McCain. We all might remember that in late November. Him probably out going toe-to-toe with LaMelo Ball down the stretch, leading the Sixers to a victory. The second one being the Paul George pop-out game, 29 points against the Charlotte Hornets last time they played in Charlotte for Paul George. It was the first time we all looked at Paul George in the Sixers uniform and said, that's the PG everyone kind of knows, loves, and remembers. He popped out for a great game. We're going to see if he can do that again. But 2-0, the Sixers look to go 3-0 in the season series against the Charlotte Hornets and then wrap right around and wrap up that season series with the Hornets on Friday. And in Philadelphia at 7 p.m. at the Wells Fargo Center, that will be the fourth and final game against the Charlotte Hornets this season, all coming before January. It's a lot. And then on Saturday, they go back to Cleveland and play the best team in the NBA record-wise right now, still in the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland. The best home record, the best record right now. They look like they're firing on all cylinders. The Cleveland Cavaliers, Sixers take their talents to Cleveland to play the Cavs on Saturday. That will wrap up the week. So three games this week after a very light week last week. Hornets twice and then Cavs starting tonight in Charlotte. The Sixers played the Hornets. So now let's go to some scores around the league, some teams we should pay attention to if or since we are Sixers fans and just staying up to date on the league. The Celtics got rid of the Wizards last night, 112-98. Jason Tatum led the way for the Celtics, 28 points and 12 rebounds, but he was certainly not alone. A gang effort for the Celtics. Everyone getting in on the party. Had seven players in double figures, including all five starters. Weirdly enough, the Wizards also had all five starters in double figures, but obviously it wasn't enough for them. Jordan Poole led the way with 21 points for them. Kyle Kuzma was quiet, but Kyle Kuzma is the latest talk on the trade market, the trade block. A lot of teams showing interest in Kyle Kuzma, teams who had interest in him before, teams who he's played for before, teams like the Lakers, the Warriors, among other contending hopeful teams have been eyeing Kyle Kuzma on the trade market. So the Wizards might get active before the trade deadline. We will see. The Knicks also bounce back from their NBA Cup loss, their kind of embarrassing NBA Cup loss, to win against the Magic 100-91. Jalen Brunson led the way, 31 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. Cat again goes crazy, 22 points, 22 rebounds, a 22-22 game there for the Knicks in Orlando. Mo Wagner had a career-high 32 points for the Magic as they continue to try to find their footing without their two best players now. They've already been playing without Paolo Banchero with that torn right oblique. Now Franz Wagner, a week and a half ago, joined him on the sideline with that same exact injury, a torn right oblique. Both out indefinitely. Paolo Banchero kept hinting a little bit about making a return sooner than a lot of people anticipated, but he is still not back in the Magic. Still in the thick of it in the Eastern Conference right now, but are clinging to that because without their two best players, with teams trying to get healthy and maybe even making moves soon to get their teams better, the Magic are going to have a tough time kind of holding ground, but they continue to try to do that. Their first couple of efforts are not successful. They lose to the Knicks 100-91 in Orlando. Okay, let's get on to the elephant in the room, the stuff that we all probably heard about on Friday night and through the weekend, the injury reports, because the season somehow went from bad to worse on Friday night as the Sixers lose to the Indiana Pacers. The first thing that happened, the rookie Jerry McCain out indefinitely with a torn right meniscus. It was bad. Has a lateral tear in that left knee. I'm sorry, torn left meniscus. Has a lateral tear in that left knee, and it will require surgery. Unfortunate for the rookie Jerry McCain, all rookie of the year hopeful, who was having a great start to his season, was a bright spot for the Sixers and an otherwise very disappointing start to their season. He was playing so well, and this comes at the most inopportune time, not even for him, but for the Sixers as a whole. The exact moment when McCain sustained this meniscus tear is kind of unclear. He did leave the game against the Pacers at one point, but that was because he fell and hit the back of his head. And when his head bounced off of the court, the second time he's had that kind of injury, the first time he had that, it was very scary as he went down, had to go through concussion protocol. It was helped off the court, was in a lot of pain and discomfort. This wasn't the same type of injury. He did hit his head, was down for a tiny bit, but got back up, did go off the court, but seemed fine, came back, and then, you know, we get this report that he has a tear in his left meniscus. So just a super, super inconvenient time, a super unfortunate injury. You feel for Jerry McCain. As Sixers fans, we feel for our team because Nick Nurse said this before. It seems like when we get one back, you know, we lose another one. So Jerry McCain out indefinitely with a torn left meniscus. We don't know if his season is done, but with it requiring surgery, it does not look doesn't look hopeful for a return for Jared McCain. We move on to Embiid, who's had conflicting reports about tonight. Embiid sustained a right sinus fracture against the Indiana Pacers when he contested a shot against Benedict Mathurin, who then came down, and I guess it was his left arm came down and hit Joel Embiid right in the face. Fractured his right sinus bone. So it was reported yesterday, Sunday, that Joel Embiid was going to be out for today's game against the Charlotte Hornets with that right sinus fracture. I have seen some reports, Keith Pompey of one of the a Philadelphia Inquirer reporting earlier this morning that Embiid is going through further testing on that right sinus fracture, on that right sinus bone, and was not officially ruled out for tonight's game. So we will await that. I don't want to, now that I see that, I don't want to have any concrete report of Joel Embiid. He is on the Sixers injury report as out for tonight, but with seeing that report, with someone like Keith Pompey want to give it some merit and say that he may not be ruled out, I don't expect him to play after how serious that injury looked after the initial reports saying that he was definitely going to be out. But with the one coming in, let's not rule him out completely. Questionable is the official report for Joel Embiid right now for this game. I don't expect him to play, but he might not be out completely. But with that being said, even if he does not play, even if he does play tonight, add that to the list of injuries or discomforts for Joel Embiid. We'll probably see him in the mask once again. And at this point, you just have to feel for the big fellow. There's not an injury that Joel Embiid seemingly hasn't seen to this point. And it's like, what else, right? What else can Joel Embiid see? If he plays tonight, it'll be yet another injury that he tries to play through. And you know, we give him as much credit as possible for that, because at this point, my goodness, there's just hasn't been an injury he has not seen yet. So we feel for Embiid at this point. Well, hopefully he gives it a go tonight or wherever he is healthy enough to play. To round out the injury report, Caleb Martin and Adembona will again sit tonight. Nick Nurse said that Caleb Martin participated in portions of practice on Sunday, but was not a full go, so he'll rest for tonight. Adembona is still out with that knee injury. We guys know how I feel about Adembona and that knee injury. He continues to be out, but we continue to monitor it. For the Hornets, the only player on their injury report as of now was LaMelo Ball. He's listed as questionable. He's missed the last handful of games with a torn calf strain, but could give it a go tonight. It would be a huge lift for the Hornets if he is able to go. People thought he was going to be able to play against his brother this weekend when they played the Chicago Bulls. Was scratched last minute from the lineup, so we'll see if he's ready to go for tonight. If he is, it'll be, you know, pretty much the only star power, maybe with Brandon Miller, that the Hornets have to offer. If not, the Sixers should see themselves, you know, have pathways to victory against lo and behold, down and out Charlotte Hornets team. I'm about to take a break. On the other side of the break, we'll get into some analysis. My three things to watch for as the Sixers go on to take on the Charlotte Hornets tonight in Charlotte to try to get a victory. Stay tuned. Welcome back, y'all. Thank you for starting your week with me, starting your day with me. Clap your hands, morning Sixers update. Appreciate it. Your man, James Jackson. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for myself, at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast. People have been wanting me to call it X when I say that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. His mama named him Twitter. I'm going to call him Twitter. I don't know who this X guy is, right? That must be what his friends call him. That must be what his young bulls call him. That's not me. I'm not going to call him that. He is X or he is Twitter until further notice. All right, time to get ready for this matchup tonight as the Sixers take on the Charlotte Hornets, 7 p.m. in Charlotte. Time for my three things to watch for as the Sixers try and go and get a victory tonight. Should be a pretty even match, right? Two 7-win teams as the Sixers go and take on the Hornets. So no one really has a crazy advantage, a 7-16 team versus a 7-18 team. First thing I'm watching for is a Paul George repeat performance. Can we get a Paul George encore? I talked about how the last time the Sixers played the Hornets, it was in Charlotte too, December 3rd. It was the Paul George pop-out game. His best game as a Sixer, kind of the only game we can point to right now in Paul George's Sixers tenure where, you know, he was above and beyond, where he looked like undoubtedly the best player on the floor. PG's tenure with the Sixers so far has been underwhelming, to say the least, right? We'll just leave it at that. However, he did have a great game, his best game of the season last time he faced the Hornets. Like I said, 29 points, 8 rebounds, or 8 assists, 2 rebounds. He even had 2 steals and a block in the game. It was great. It was great to see PG kind of summon you know, the old Paul George, right? Kind of go and be the Paul George that a lot of Sixers fans kind of fantasized about, kind of fabled about when he came here, when he put on that number 8 and donned the red, white, and blue. We thought that he was going to look like that 29-8 assist, 2-rebound performance more consistently, right? So it would be a great time for PG to summon whatever energy he had that game. Whatever PG went through before that game, I need him to do it again. Let's have the same morning routine, eat the same meals, do the same pregame warm-up, talk to the same people, whatever he's got to do. But I'm sure we'd all love to see him do that again, right? With how bad this weekend went, right? The loss and losing two key guys in the rotation, it'd be good if Paul George kind of eased our hearts, calmed our anxiety and our nerves, and went out there and said, let me be the professional on the floor. Let me be the vet on the floor that you guys can lean on tonight. On the season, PG is averaging just 16 points per game on 41% from the field, 31% from three. Not exactly eye-popping numbers, not exactly numbers that are going to jump off the page and jump off the screen for you. But Charlotte is one of the few teams that, you know, he gave a lot of problems to this season. That's not a hard thing to do. It's a low bar, but still, PG is one of those people who's done it. Let's see if he can try and do that again and get a win tonight against Charlotte. Second thing I'm looking for and watching tonight is that backup guard position, right? Unfortunate what happened to Jerry McCain is an understatement, but what happened to Jerry McCain happened. And it does feel weird to be asking the question, who will take over Jerry McCain's minutes in his absence? As 22 games into the season and our 16 overall draft pick, not exactly what I thought I was going to be saying at this point, but here we are, and it's what we have to kind of do, what we have to think about. And if we're being honest, there's a reason Jerry McCain was seeing the minutes he was getting the opportunities he was getting, because the alternatives right now aren't great. I thought they would be a lot better at this point in the season, but they're not. We have Kyle Lowry, who's been in and out of the lineup himself, and when he's been healthy, hasn't been the most ultra effective person. 5 points per game, 37% shooting from the field, even worse from three-point range, right? We thought Kyle Lowry going back to last season was going to be someone who's going to be a steady hand at the backup or sometimes even starting point guard position, a guy who Maxey could learn from, a guy who Jared McCain could learn from at times. Not to say that he's not valuable, not to say that he's not on the sideline employing wisdom, giving guys a lot of game. But when I'm talking about on-court production, when I'm talking about Kyle Lowry getting on the floor, being impactful at that guard position, I don't see that often. I don't really see that a lot, if I'm being completely honest. Right? Then you have Reggie Jackson, who in the beginning of the season kind of was deemed unplayable. Right, like he started the first handful of games not even playing at all. We didn't hear many good things coming out of training camp in the beginning of the season and practices from Reggie Jackson. Since injuries have arisen, he sees himself getting in the rotation. He's impacted the rotation a little bit at times. Has shown to be kind of useful. Has shown to be good, but not on a consistent basis. Right. So, do we feel that he is now? Do we feel that he's ready to come in and be steady, hold down the fort for us? It's not even like Jerry McCain's coming back at some point. The guys who come into the rotation, you know, we may have to be relying on them for foreseeable futures. So it's got to be consistent. And then you get down to guys like Eric Gordon and Ricky Council, who aren't point guards, right? They're not backup point guards, but they're guards, and they're guys who are going to see more and more playing time now that an injury has happened. So they've also not been steady. Ricky Council has given us big splash moments at times, but then there's times where Ricky looks like he's absent. And then don't get me started on Eric Gordon. So we don't. It's not like we look to our replacements, you know, our reinforcements at the guard position and see a lot of optimism and see a lot of hopefulness from that. But tonight, someone's going to have to step up. In the future, someone or multiple guys are going to have to step up and give quality minutes. So let's see who that is going to be starting tonight. Third and final thing I'm looking for is the Sixers try to go and get a win in Charlotte tonight against the Hornets. Gang rebounding. Although the Hornets sit near the Sixers in the overall standings, we're kind of right near each other. They're not the worst team in the NBA when it comes to rebounding. 12th in the association when it comes to grabbing boards. And I know it's been a while since I've really harped on the need for the Sixers to be forceful in the paint and control the rebounding game. But here it is again. Here I am again saying what I really think should be said game in and game out for the Sixers, something that they continue to struggle with near the bottom of the NBA when it comes to total rebounding. But I do feel like this is a game, call me crazy, where the Sixers can impact the game of rebounding, maybe even can win the rebounding margins. There's two different areas I'm looking for that tonight against the Hornets. One is in the starting lineup, right, where Nick Nurse has seemingly embraced Yabusele starting at that four spot. It's been the last three games that Yabusele has started in the four, whether Embiid has been there at the five or even Andre Drummond has been there at the five too. Kind of going away from the ultra small ball and at least trying to match some of these lineups when it comes to size. You got a 6'8", 6'9 guy in Yabusele at the four. You got a 6'10", 6'11 guy in Andre Drummond and a 7'1" guy in Embiid at the center position when he's healthy. That's a little bit, you know, little bit better, a little bit more comparable in size to a lot of teams in the NBA who are starting to go back to that too big lineup, right? So since the lineup is a little bit more traditional, power forward and center, a little bit bigger, let's see if that can benefit the Sixers in the rebounding department, right? We haven't looked at the last three games and seen the Sixers be out-rebounded exponentially or out-rebounded greatly, right? So it's starting to look a lot better. Let's see if the Sixers can get on the plus side of that rebounding tonight, especially with the starting lineup. The second area I'm looking for the Sixers to really make an impact rebounding, guys like KJ Martin, guys like Kelly Oubre. We've seen in the past how great those guys can be when they're active and off the ball making hustle plays. KJ Martin has given us a couple of games, Detroit Pistons game I look back to in particular, and has been great. Rebounding, offensive rebounding, being hustle. Kelly Oubre, there's a couple of games I can point to this season where that impact has been felt. Sometimes it hasn't been felt as greatly as other points because Kelly Oubre has been put into spots where, you know, he's expected to do a little more, right? He's expected to be like a main force on the offensive end, a main driving force, a steady hand, a steady scorer, right? So he's not able to spend as much energy doing those little things that impact. We have another injury, right? Another injury to the starting lineup, and Embiid may not play, which moves Kelly Oubre his position and his impact and moves it again, right? But I don't want him to stop. Those offensive rebounds, those hustle plays, those are huge for the Sixers. So if guys like that can continue up that energy, that activity, and impact the boards, impact the offensive rebounding game in particular, we should see the Sixers be on the plus side of that rebounding game tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. But those are my three things I'm watching for as the Sixers try to go and get a win. Let's see if we can get a PG pop-out game once again against the Hornets. The backup guard position, who's going to step up? How are they going to play? And gang rebounding, right? This is a team who's not the worst at rebounding, but the Sixers are looking and starting to get a little bit better in that department. I want to see them win that matchup tonight. It's the Hornets. It's the Sixers' eighth win of the season. Hopefully tonight, hopefully we can get that. And then I will spin back tomorrow. I'll give away my three takeaways tomorrow morning after the game. But until then, I will see everybody in 24 hours.